Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, May the 8th. Thanks very much to all of you who contributed to Wisconsin Public Radio during our spring pledge drive, which ended 2 days earlier than expected. Yesterday afternoon, we crossed the finish line of $275,000, and as promised, we stopped the pledge drive as soon as we reached that goal. Thanks to you, we return now to non-pledge drive programming today through the rest of the spring and this summer and much of the fall as well. We won't be back with another pledge drive until sometime later in October. So thanks very much. Taking a vacation from pledge drives as we talk about vacations this hour. I'll be taking a vacation in June. I'm not going anywhere, but I have a bunch of vacation time that I carried over from last year that I haven't taken yet. And I have to take it before July 1st or I will lose it. We admittedly get generous vacation benefits working for the University of Wisconsin, but those days off aren't a whole lot of good if you don't use them. And I will still lose some of my allotted vacation time this year because I can't take more than 2 weeks off. I'm going to be spending that time just working on my yard and my house, not loafing on a beach or anything. So with that in mind, a recent survey caught our eye about how half of U.S. workers don't use their vacation time, the vacation time that they have coming to them. A national poll of more than 2,000 workers showed 56% do not use their allotted paid time off. 30% say they take less than half of their days off, plus 1 in 5 workers reported that they only plan on getting away for long weekends this year without taking a full vacation at all. Managers do take more vacation time than their staff, according to this survey, but 35% of those managers all often check into the office while on vacation, some every day, and they say their bosses expect them to be accessible while on vacation. So we will wonder this hour, do you take your allotted vacation time every year? What prevents you from taking it off if you don't? Does your boss expect you to be on call during a vacation? Do you return refreshed from a vacation or even more stressed because of the work that awaits you or because you never really got time off from it all? We'll talk about why vacations are important and why we apparently still don't get it and what it might take to really kick back and relax. We'll welcome your questions and comments for our guest at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, or send us an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Al Jeanney. He is a professor of business ethics in the School of Business Administration at Loyola University in Chicago. He's a regular commentator on WBEZ, Chicago's public radio station. He is the author of several books, including The Importance of Being Lazy, in Praise of Play, Leisure, and Vacations. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for being with us.
A little early, but here we are.
Yes, that's right. The early bird gets the worm or something like that. We talked when your book first came out a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And you convinced me to do a better job of taking my vacation time, but as I just admitted, I'm still not taking all of it. Apparently, though, not everyone heard that interview based on this new survey.
No, apparently not. And I think the certain constants in life now, about 23% of the American population, even when they take a vacation, take a very, very short time. And new statistics are suggesting that 55% of the population takes a vacation and take more than one vacation. But that's also lumping together the boomers and the over 55 crowd who, for the first time, the kids are gone, have a couple extra dollars in their pockets and are now taking vacations. But I think that time poverty squeezes most working American couples with children still around, mm-hmm. if not in total need of constant care, to take fewer and fewer vacations for all sorts of reasons. And one we're forgetting is just the cost of it now.
Yeah, like just because it costs a lot to get those airline tickets.
Yes, airline tickets are very, very high, and the Disneyland will drive you goofy in the cost itself, and didn't mean that terrible pun this early, but there you go.
Yeah.
And so I think there are lots of reasons in it, but I also think It's time poverty. It's the job. It's can I take it off? And, the, you know, the 56% that you mentioned that don't take the time off is usually related to some aspect of the job.
Yeah, what do you mean?
Well, as you said, one of the things, even though you have a benevolent despot that you work for, you can't take more than 2 weeks. Well, they've done some interesting surveys, and anecdotally, you talk to people, 2 weeks is just barely enough for vacation. In some sense, you need a little longer than that. A phrase I've used all the time, a one-week vacation to me is vacation interruptus, or lazy interruptus. You just don't quite get into it. Not mm-hmm. that you shouldn't take the week, but when we're working as hard as we work, I think we need, the one thing I do say every time I talk about my book is, I wrote the book to help myself, but there are very few, you know, self-help tips in the book. But the one tip I really always want to recommend is, at least in your mind, start your vacation 3 days before you go.
And how do you do that?
Well, I mean, at least let go. I mean, don't be packing the hour before. I think I shared with you that I was on a book tour for that book, and we were going to Africa that summer, and my son picked me up downtown in his SRV or CRV or whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever they are.
Yeah, whatever they are. And picked up my wife at her law firm, and we actually changed the car and finished packing to go on vacation. Now, there's something wrong with that, you know.
Yeah.
And then got in the plane. We were so tired. We had a drink and fell into a, you know, drug sleep just to begin to relax.
What a good time.
Yeah, really good time. But you got there. Where are we? You know, what's the agenda and what's going to happen now? I do think, you know, all of us with families along the way have been so rushed to get to the vacation that you need 3 days to get into the vacation. So one of my suggestions is try to get there, at least in your mind, because we work so hard, it takes a while to get into it. Then we're into it, and if we're only taking a week or 10 days, and then we're gone. It's like Sunday night for a lot of people. Anxiety, you're uncomfortable, you have a hard time sleeping. Part of it is you're getting ready for the work next day.
Yeah. Let's check our weather forecast, and then we'll continue talking about the importance of vacation time and why, according to a recent survey, more than half of U.S. workers fail to take all of their vacation days. And we wonder if that's you. And why that is, if it is. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, May the 8th. A special program this afternoon, At Issue with Ben Marins, between 4 and 6. Ben is broadcasting live from the Pabst Theater in Milwaukee for the annual Kennan Forum on the Institute of World Affairs. Ben will be moderating a discussion between two guests on Israeli-Palestinian relations. That's between 4 and 6 this afternoon. We're talking about the importance of vacation time with Al Jeanney, who is a professor of business ethics in the School of Business Administration at Loyola University in Chicago. He's also the author of the book, The Importance of Being Lazy, in Praise of Play, Leisure, and Vacations. Talking with Professor Jeanney because a recent survey came out that says half of U.S. workers don't use their allotted vacation time. And while managers take more vacation time than those they supervise, they are also tethered to the office by their BlackBerries and cell phones. And they say that their bosses, many of them, about a third of them at least, their bosses expect them to be accessible during vacation. And Al Jeanney, then it's just really not a vacation, is it?
No, it isn't. You know, and Challenger and Christmas a couple of years ago wrote a column. They have a regular column on work tips. Set out, it's summer's coming up, and what does the good entrepreneur, what does the good business person, man or woman, want to do? Well, when you go on vacation, first of all, tell your boss where you're going to stay. Make sure you have a fax machine installed in your room. Don't turn off your computer at work because you're going to access it now with these, you know, these extended computers we hold in our hands.
Yeah.
Return your phone calls every day about the same time so you get, you know, most of the day in, but at 4 o'clock, let's put it in, you know, or 3 o'clock, let's put it in an hour and a half or two. On things, and then coordinate all of your electronic gadgets so that you can download anything at any time.
Yeah.
And get back to people. And one wonders, you know, that's not a vacation. That's not a mental break. And I love the Latin word, divertio, and the Italian word is even more exact, divertirsi, to do something different, to get away in order to come back and do that which is regular. and a better way. Not to have that break means you're just not relaxing.
Yeah, let's take some calls. And we do have an open line for you if you want to talk about vacation time, whether or not you are like half of the workers that were surveyed in this recent report. Do you use your vacation time or not? And if not, why not? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890. Dale in Winter is with us first. Hi, Dale.
Good morning. I have been guilted and goaded into not taking vacation for years, and I stopped. I just take vacation. I completely untether from the organization. If they can't last 2 weeks without me, then I should find another job where they can. The other thing that I think managers lose sight of is that there's a hidden cost to Americans not taking vacation. In the banking industry where I've worked for years, it takes usually 2 weeks to find embezzlement.
You know what? We're losing you on the cell phone, Dale. I'm sorry, we can't hear you. Very well, but I think we got most of that. I don't know. I guess you can discover embezzlements if bankers take vacations.
I'm not sure about that latter one. I wish he hadn't scratched out. But he's made a really important point. There's a assumption here that taking time off means you're lazy, and the word lazy, we have this, you know, confusing, conflicted, understanding of the word lazy. In one sense, it means you have a lawnmower and a teenager, and neither one of them cuts the lawn on Saturday afternoon, right? Mm-hmm. In another sense, lazy is a status symbol. A lazy Sunday afternoon, you know, with the family. A lazy morning to read the paper by yourself. A vacation where you unwind. And I think that good bosses are finding out more and more. They know this information, but don't want to totally ingest it because it's counterintuitive to their own lifestyles, that workers who receive perks are better workers. And workers who take vacations wind up being better at what they do. And the people who don't take vacations become drudges. You know, it's the notion of every worker, every employer wants a workaholic. It's not true. Workaholics are always busy, but they're not necessarily good and effective workers. And so it is, you know, vacations are necessary for the human being to be better at what they do. And I don't understand why that concept isn't understood. Time in on the job isn't in itself sufficient to demonstrate effectiveness.
Yeah, and I guess Dale was kind of brave there. He says he was guilted out of taking his vacation, but finally just said, hey, forget it, I'm taking it.
I think he used the right term there. It isn't that the employee says, well, of course you have 3 weeks coming, but no one takes it. The reality is the culture of your other workmates and the culture of the organization dictates that.
Yeah. We'll go next to Eugene in Viola. Hi, Eugene. You're on the air.
Good morning, Joy.
Morning.
In 1962, I left industry. I was working 50 weeks on and 2 weeks off. I put in 2 years county normal and signed my. I was making $6,500 last year I was there. When I got out of the county normal, I signed my first teaching contract in a one-room country school in South Dakota for $3,500. I had 3 months. I had 9 months on, 3 months off, two weeks vacation at Christmas. I was making enough to live on, and I wasn't about to go back to that 52-week deal. I just wasn't going to do it for any way, manner, or form. I've enjoyed myself, and I'll tell you what, I worked the classroom at that time. You were working very relaxed, and it was just I managed to get by.
Yeah.
And I think I don't have the tension. I'm lazy.
Yeah. No, Eugene, the moral of the story then is you accepted a job that had that paid less money, but it had other benefits in terms of time off, more time off.
Oh.
Yeah. Al Genie?
Well, I think it's true. First of all, every teacher that I know of, and no matter what they suggest, you have lots of time off, but you pay for that time in other ways and make it up in other ways. But I think I rarely quote Nancy Reagan, but you know, ubiquitously, but sometimes you just have to say no, I don't want that job because I know what that entails. No, I won't do that. Let me give you an example that metaphorically comes to this point. A dear friend of mine is a major neurosurgeon in Chicago, and he world renowned and put upon by everyone for surgery. He only does 3 major surgeries a week. He only schedules 3 major surgeries a week. Now, he's on call for accidents, so on and so forth, but he only does 3 electives a week. And I'll say to him, let me use the word, name John. John, you know, I could do more. Of course I could do more. I could do 3 or 4 a day at this outrageous rate. Why not? He says, well, I don't want to, if you lose, excuse the pun here, I don't want to lose my cutting edge. I don't want to take it for granted. I don't want to do too much of it. Because when you do too much of it, you make mistakes. This is sacred, important stuff. You need time away in order to do it well when it's time to do it.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Eugene, for the call. Kevin in Richland Center is with us now. Hi, Kevin.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Mm-hmm. I had a mentor several years ago who walked into my office one day and he said, Kevin, have you taken a vacation yet this year? I said, no. He says, you know, your kids are getting older. It's time that you take your vacation. And he said, I'm going to check back with you next week. Okay. So he checked back with me the next week. He said, have you planned your vacation yet? I said, no. He said, I'll be back next week. And this went on for a couple of weeks until I finally got the hint. We planned a vacation. It was just a few days away to start with. We do it each year now. We try and take a couple of days off before we travel. We try to travel for 7 or 8 days and then have a couple of days off to unwind so that we have the ability to go back to work a little bit more refreshed. It's been a wonderful thing, and I owe this gentleman... this mentor of mine greatly because he took the time to make sure that I was doing it.
Yeah, good for him and good for you, Kevin. What do you think, Algie?
Well, you know, that's exactly, he actually said it, one of the things I wish we could all do, I wish we had enough time when I said 3 weeks, you know. I wish there was enough time to get ready for the vacation so you're not going into a kind of a frenetic, you know, crazed mode. And then had time to detox when you got back because... you've seen it with fellow workers. They walk in the door Monday after, you know, 2.5 weeks in Europe, and they look like death warmed over, and they need to go to bed, which is exactly what they need to do because they got off the plane, you know, 4 hours before, and their body clock is off, so on and so forth. You got to remember, vacations are an endurance contest, but what happens because we get so little vacation is it's ready, set, go. And I think I've shared with this you before. To me, Dante's Third Circle of Hell is the father or the parental unit to the family saying, all right, we're going on vacation. I've been waiting for this all summer. We're going to have fun. Do you understand? Fun. Every day, fun. And,
if it kills us.
And it kills you, right? If it kills us. And I think that you know, you load so much into it that, to me, the analogy is the prom, and you've been on the prom committee. By the time the prom comes, it's horrible in most cases. So I think that this gentleman is right. It's about the pace of life. Vacation should be a couple of things. Recuperative, we forget we need to rest, and recreative, to have fun, to do something, you know, do something different.
Yeah.
And I think... more often than not, most of us take vacations and we're exhausted, and so we do no thing just because we're tired.
We're going to check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue talking with Al Genie, professor of business ethics in the School of Business Administration at Loyola University in Chicago, author of The Importance of Being Lazy in Praise of Play, Leisure, and Vacations, talking about the importance of vacation time and why so many of us don't take the vacation time we should. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 on this Tuesday, May the 8th. And thanks again to all of you who contributed to Wisconsin Public Radio during our just concluded spring membership drive. You donated $275,000 to help support the programming that you're listening to right now. More than 2,100 members pledged. We are pleased to welcome 676 brand new members to the Wisconsin Public Radio Association. Thanks again for your support. We're talking this hour about the importance of vacation time with Al Genie, who is a professor of business ethics in the School of Business Administration at Loyola University in Chicago. He is a regular commentator on Chicago Public Radio. He's the author of several books, including The Importance of Being Lazy in Praise of Play, Leisure, and Vacations. Our conversation is prompted by a recent survey that shows half of U.S. workers don't use their allotted vacation time. And we're wondering why that is, if you're like that, and what can be done about it. And also talking about how, while many managers do take more vacation time than those they supervise, they end up being connected to the office more often than not with their BlackBerries or their cell phones, saying that their bosses expect them to be accessible during vacations. We also saw that there's a new campaign, and we haven't talked about this yet. There is a new campaign. A group is pushing legislation to make the U.S. more like other industrialized countries in terms of paid days off. And we'll talk more about that as well. And we'll welcome your thoughts and questions for our guest, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. That's toll-free from anywhere. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And we did get an email from Scott in Eau Claire, Al Jeanne, and he says, I'm convinced that one of the main reasons why Americans don't take all of their vacation time is that most of us have very little job security. Taking vacation may cost us our jobs.
Oh, absolutely correct. I mean, this is no small matter. In fact, to tie that question with your reference to mandatory vacations, it comes out of Take Back Your Time and a gentleman who did a number of surveys about leisure and suggested that, you know, in America, only one country has fewer mandated days by custom or tradition than America and time off, and that's Mexico. We have 10 to 13 days. But, you know, the average German gets, or Italy gets 42 days, and the French gets 37 days, and the German gets 35 days. Even the Japanese get 26 days, even though they may not take it. And here's the important rub. These days are mandated by the federal government. It is a term of employment that everyone will be required to have X number of days off. In America, every day we have off, and you mentioned this at the beginning of the show, honey, the show is you have a benevolent boss, and so you get these time off. But that is a contractual arrangement between the individual and the organization. If I hire you as my batsman and memoirist and ask you, and I expect you to be here 7 days a week, and in fact, I think Scrooge is way, way too easy, so I expect you here as Christmas as well, and that's an open and covenant openly arrived at, that's legal. And so there are no mandated days. So this movement that comes out of Take Back Your Time right now, that national movement for the last couple of years has been trying to take that one day off every year and make people aware of it. They've had some success at it. They actually had the first meeting, I think, at Loyola in Chicago, and they had a huge turnout. But you know how these things go, these movements go. But I think it's really real that we need this as part of our job requirements, and we don't have that. And so you're in a difficult situation. The job is turning at a certain point. You're in the middle of a negotiation. You understand maybe you can't run away, but you would take it some other time. No, the culture of the organization suggests that you don't take that time off because people who are not here, you know, get hired. And there's one other example. Very few women take the full amount of time off in the American Disabilities Act in regard to pregnancies and delivery. The reason is, do you really want to be gone for 16 weeks and have your employer say, how'd it go? Well, everything was fine. You know, you don't want to lose play.
So you're just nervous.
You're nervous about that. So you need to come back. You need to be there. How many men take the American Disabilities Act, which is technically allowable for a difficult pregnancy or an illness in the family? Very, very few. Very few. And so I think that your emailer is exactly on fear of losing. Because what we've done, as Julia Chor has talked about, in this society, the pressure of a job, the pressure of a career, you know, and a good career is so hard to find. And then what we've done is we've traded our time for stuff, and so that we further entrench ourselves in it. So, and every one of us has said it. I put in so much time. I deserve that darn car. I deserve that, darn coat. Or the new phenomena, the more common phenomena, the more pedestrian phenomena, eating out, double income couples eating out three and four times a week. because you don't even have time for that. At least there's time together.
Mm-hmm. The emailer went on to say, in most other industrialized countries, workers have more job security, and they also take their allotted vacation time. Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. In Germany, people take, I mean, absolutely. The Japanese don't, because they're still fighting this culture. Now, the Japanese, ironically, in a great twist from 20 years ago, Japanese companies are now forcing their employees to take time off, because they've seen the connection between arrested employee, an employee feels that this is a good place to work, and productivity. What a concept. Let's keep that going. But they are guaranteed. If the federal government mandates that you get 35 days off, then, you know, you could be sued. It's a litigious moment if you don't.
Yeah. I was on a vacation, and I ran into some folks from, I think they're from Great Britain, and they were on a month-long vacation. Yeah. That was their holiday.
That was their holiday. Yeah. And think about what that means. In the old days, you know, I've had the opportunity to live in Europe and live in the government that's now acceptable to us, France and Italy. And people were gone. I mean, you know, the only people you met in the streets of Paris were tourists to some extent. That was when the country vacated. You wanted to find French people, you had to go to the provinces. That's where they were. And this notion of shutting down, the examples I regularly give in the old days in Madison and still occurs in Minneapolis, according to Garrison Keillor, you know, that first snowfall means sometimes we just shut it down. Yeah. It's just not worth it, right?
So this Take Back Your Time campaign, calling on Congress to enact legislation, it's guaranteeing at least 3 weeks of paid vacation for all American workers.
Right.
It's not getting very far, though,
is it? No, it's not. It's been going on, you know, and I was involved in it. We had, you know, 100,000 signatures at one point. Kennedy introduced it in a bill. Senator Kennedy introduced it in a bill. They've really worked it left and right. But, you know, we're too busy. We don't have time for that. And it sounds, in one sense, un-American. And then when I think it was going, there's a wonderful quote by Ann Quinlan. I wish I had said it, but, as an academic, I've got to show my source. Doing nothing is something. Doing downtime is where we become ourselves, our true selves. And although I've done books on work, the book on play came out of the book, or the book on leisure came out of the book on work. And I do know, as adults, we identify ourselves by our jobs. You know, we want to be able to say, this is my daughter, the accountant. This is my son, the engineer. We put tags on people. It's an honorific. It's a badge of honor. But as an adult, when we meet each other, after we exchange curriculum vitae, where do we work? And then we decide if we like each other by what our interests are, what else we do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this person is really interesting. He's a nuclear physicist. Well, yes. But can we talk about something else? And so I think our downtime is where we really form ourselves, you know. And then we always think about this. You meet a brain surgeon who also is a gourmet cook and likes to climb mountains. Oh, that's an interesting person. You know?
Yeah, and I maybe I'll learn take a gourmet cooking class when I take my 2 weeks off, where I'm not.
You're right. In fact, you can do that, and come with me to Italy. We're taking a cooking class for 5 days in Tuscany. It's marvelous.
You're going to do that?
Yes.
I am jealous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we will continue talking with Al Gini, professor of business ethics in the School of Business Administration at Loyola University in Chicago, talking about the importance of being lazy and the importance of taking our vacation time. And we wonder, do you take your allotted vacation time? What prevents you from taking it if you don't? Does your boss expect you to be on call during a vacation? Do you return refreshed from a vacation, or even more stressed because of all the work that awaits you, or all the work you really did while supposedly on vacation? We welcome your thoughts and questions for our guest. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. And what do you think about this call for national legislation guaranteeing 3 weeks of paid vacation for all American workers? Do you think that's a good idea or not? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 12 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, May the 8th. Stay tuned. Coming up, we're going to talk with a state legislator and the executive director of the Citizens Utility Board, talking about a proposal to lift the moratorium in Wisconsin on building new nuclear power plants. Is that the way to go? What do you think of that idea? We'll talk about it after 7 o'clock. Some say it's the answer to global warming, at least one of the answers. Others say it's too risky. There's no place to put the waste and so on. So we'll talk about the pros and cons of that idea coming up in our next hour. We're talking about vacations during this hour and why so many of us don't take the vacations that we can, and wondering what we might do about this, and welcoming your thoughts and questions. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison 263-1890, talking with Al Jeaney, who is the author of many books, including The Importance of Being Lazy in Praise of Play, Leisure, and Vacations. And before we go to the phones, let me ask you, Professor Jeaney, I am taking the 2 weeks off in June. As I mentioned at the top of the show, I need to take, I need to take more than that. I will lose some vacation time by July 1st, but I'm not going anywhere. I just didn't have time to plan anything. I just am taking it off, and I'll work around the house and go to some exercise classes, and maybe I'll, I don't know, find something else to do. Is that a vacation?
Well, yes and no. If you come to my office 3 days a week, we could work on this, yeah? yes and no. I mean, let's talk about the reality. Sometimes financial necessity, you know, doesn't allow you to take vacations. And my experience is, staying around the house, and you know, you're not the only one, but only 23% of Americans take anything what they call an extended vacation, and that's 5 days, you know.
Uh-huh.
Another 23% take vacations of about 4 days, and about 50% take less than 4 days off, go someplace, because, again, vacations are very expensive. Let's say you've got 4 weeks the whole year, and you've taken two for on vacation, and this year the other two. Uh-huh. Well, yeah, there are a lot of quintillion tasks. Listen, I'm the first one to admit, this sounds like a confession, hi, I'm Al, haven't been on vacation in 10 years. There were many a summer where what I do on vacation, I painted the house. What I do on vacation, I put the kitchen in. You know, it's called sweat equity, and yeah, there was no other option. And those things happen. What I want to suggest to you, though, if that's your regular pattern, and you have the wherewithal, let's assume you have the wherewithal.
I did take a vacation. I went to Jamaica,
okay,
earlier this year.
I understand that. Mm-hmm. I don't think you really get relaxed, because it's like working at home, and we both have done that on occasion as university mm-hmm. types. You have to really discipline yourself. Otherwise, you get up at 10 o'clock and say, let me move this wall 2 feet to the left. Let me go out there. You wind up doing the quintillion tasks that aren't really relaxing, but just have to be done. I'm not saying it's better, it's terrible, but I don't think you get the full bang. It winds up being a honey-do list, whether you got a honey or not.
It's nice to be in the hammock and not worrying about cleaning out the garage.
Right, but you're not going to do that. You know that. You're going to be in the hammock about an hour and a half, and that garage is still there, you know. And so this is where getting away, going on vacation, vacare, to get out of, you know, to vacate, gives you permission to play. And my classic story is my father coming into my mother. We didn't take many vacations. Says, honey, we're going to Florida. She went, great. Mm-hmm. Says, I got this this place. It's a kitchen. It'll be great. She says, I'm not going. You know, I'm not going to go down there and just, you know, do everything that I do here.
Wasn't going to vacate in that situation.
Right, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Let's go to the phones. Patty in Fort Atkinson. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. I just think it would be wonderful if they shut down and let everybody go. I lived in Europe for 5 years, and we shut down and took off.
That's right. That's right. And my daughter's company, even here, a drug company, my daughter-in-law's company, and actually my son is working there now, too, they close for 2.5 weeks at Christmas because they just say, no, here's your salary. Nothing's going to be done. This would be intrusive to deal with people at this time. We're closed. And if everyone does that, mm-hmm. it works. But everyone has to agree with, you know, has to agree with that. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of things in reality. Think about money. Take out the $10 bill in your pocket. Does it say this is certified to really be money because it's backed by gold, silver, frankincense, or myrrh? No. It says this shall be used as legal tender. It has no value except we all agree has value. And if we all get in the habit of everybody takes 3 weeks, we balance that out, it'll work.
Yeah. Brian in Madison is with us now. Hi, Brian.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I guess I'm not sure necessarily if we would, you know, want to develop a law like this, but I wanted to make a comment that I think a lot of companies and ones that I've worked for sort of enable people not to use time off.
That's right.
They create incentives where unused vacation can actually be paid in cash.
Right.
So that's the further discouragement from actually utilizing it.
Right. And a classic example of that is Chicago Police Force, which can't afford you to take the full amount of time off. I mean, you could build up days, so you could have 6 or 8 weeks a year, depending on the OT schedule and what you do. Well, they don't want you to do that, and they make it much more financially rewarding to take the cash. And I think that I'm not sure it's a diabolical plot, but it certainly works out that way in the long-term health and psychological well-being of the individual. Yeah, there's lots of disincentives, and you don't even have to do that. Again, the culture of the place dictates. One of my first graduate students got his PhD under me in business ethics. A Japanese gentleman, Hiro Umizu, and goes back to Kyoto University, and I go to visit him, and we leave for the office at 6 o'clock in the morning, and don't leave his office at the university until 8 o'clock. But mm-hmm. We're there all afternoon. He's reading, doing things I didn't understand. He says, "Why are we here so long?" I whisper. He says, "Because I'm most junior, and the senior person is still down the hall."
Mm.
The culture dictates that. And I think we have to change the culture of things. And that's why Joe Robinson of Take Back Your Time and this movement for 3 weeks off is really a cultural saint. He's saying, look, it's never going to happen one-to-one. But if we make this part of the, our national culture, part of our national psyche, this will not seem dysfunctional. This will not seem uneconomic when everyone does it.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Brian, for the call. Randy in Laval is next. Hi, Randy.
Yeah, I just wonder if there's family unit bonding type research as to the people that do take these vacations, because I know we in our family, when we get together, are often thankful that our parents, year after year, even though they were very, very busy, made a point of taking us a couple of weeks. I remember as a sixth grader, I'm 50-something now, I won't say what, we went to the World's Fair in Montreal. We went 1 year. 1 year we went out to the Badlands, to the Passion Play. 1 year we went here or there. I remember Dad saying, oh, they're going to make a new car called the Mustang. Let's go up to Detroit and see if we can see that car being made. And every time I hear a story of Lee Iacocca and that whole magical event unfolding, I remember how, I think I was in the seventh grade at that time, I remember the Mustangs coming down the mm-hmm. assembly line. My parents just had this sense of taking us places around the United States that were not only historic, but fun, and now we remember those things.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Boy, and my dad always said, I see men that don't do this, and they're going to regret that. And I've often thought, how did you know that, Dad?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, your dad's a very wise man, mm-hmm. by the way. And, you know, this is the coming together we're talking about. You've got to take time. Vacation is a vacata to get out of, to do that. And St. Augustine once said, those who do not travel are like those who only read one book. They only know, mm-hmm. that which is in front of them. And I think these traveling, and these are moments. Remember, we're so busy. Look at the chaos of our days. You know, the statistics suggest that adults spend 7 to 14 minutes a day with their children during a normal work day because they're, direct time with them because of everyone's passing each other and so on and so forth. That you have to create this time. And my analogy is the Sunday meal, which we're always required to. I don't want to romanticize that and say that it was the best thing that ever happened in my life, but it was enforced time with the family. And not every moment was a perfect moment of high dialogue about the intricacies of the day, but it was also a chance for us to actually spend time together and sooner or later find out if we like each other and decide that. And you need to do that with vacations. Yes, there's a risk. You go away with your children, you find out you don't like each other. But how do you know who they even are when your major function in life with them is to feed them, clothe them, and send them off to school?
Let's try to fit one more in before we're done. Joan in Milwaukee. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I can recall the best vacation I ever had, and probably one of the few I ever had, when I was asked to go along and chaperone my roommate's kid sister on a 3-week sailing trip. And I went, and I was putting in a 6-7 day week, teaching during the week on Saturdays. And I remember this as the most carefree, most wonderful time of my life in terms of vacations, even better than going to Switzerland on my honeymoon, even better than having hundreds of dollars of free air.
We're almost, well, why was the 3-week sailing adventure the best in your life, Joan?
Because I couldn't take care of anything for anybody, and I was free.
Yeah.
There wasn't. You couldn't fix the house. You couldn't.
That's right. That's right.
You couldn't take care of the kids. You couldn't.
That's right. I think being away, being on a ship, being in the Caribbean, being in Colorado means you can't go to the garage and fix the garage.
And I'm going to remember that. We're out of time for now. Sorry about that. Al Jeaney, thank you so much for being with us. Al Jeaney is the author of The Importance of Being Lazy in Praise of Play, Leisure, and Vacations. Thanks to Cheryl Gasser for producing the hour and to Karen Prager for on-air production. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network.